And now then, we'll open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Already there, huh? Exodus chapter 20. Back in 1462 B.C., Moses climbed to the top of Mount Sinai. The mountain was all black and dark and stormy with black clouds, lightning flashing. The earth was quaking, rocks were rolling down the side of the mountain. And God said to Moses, "Come on up here." And he did. And he went up there and stayed with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. And while he was up there, God gave him two tables of stone, two slabs of stone, on which God, with his almighty finger, had written what we call the Ten Commandments. And on one of those two tablets, he wrote the words that we're going to use for our text tonight, beginning in verse 8 of Exodus chapter 20. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger, nor that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." The word Sabbath is from the Hebrew word Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T. So it's really not an English word, it's just a transliteration from the Hebrew, Sabbath. The word Sabbath is first mentioned in the 16th chapter of Exodus, verse 23. And there it's mentioned in connection with manna, that food that came down from heaven from God every morning for the Israelites to eat, that sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. And it tells us over there that on the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, there was no manna out on the ground. On Friday, the Sabbath was Saturday, of course, on Friday they went out and they gathered a double portion of it. That is enough to last them for 2 days. Normally, if they'd gone out on a Wednesday morning and said, "Well, I think I'll just sleep in tomorrow, so I'm going to get a 2-day supply on Wednesday." When they woke up Thursday morning, they would go in there to fix their hot cakes or whatever they made out of that manna, and they'd find that it was full of worms and stuck. They had to throw it out. But on the Sabbath day, this is a miracle, you know, nothing short of it. If it had breed worms and stink on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Why wouldn't it do it on Saturday? But it didn't. It was just as fresh as though they had gone out and gathered it that morning. Over there in Exodus 16:23, Moses had said, tomorrow is the rest, R-E-S-T. And that doesn't mean what's remaining. It means a rest, where you take rest. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. It was a holy day. It was a hallowed day, because that was the day God had rested. So the Sabbath is associated with rest. And this word Sabbath then appears 136 more times in the scriptures. You find it throughout the Bible. Now, clearly in here, we want to establish this in the context of these verses. The Sabbath is associated with the seventh day. He says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Sabbath is the seventh day. It's the day of rest. Now, this takes us back about 2,500 years before Moses. That's a long time. 2,500 years, all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. And here's what we find over there. The heavens and the earth were finished. And on the seventh day, he doesn't call it a Sabbath, he calls it a seventh day, but we know that the seventh day is the Sabbath, don't we? And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. That means he set it apart. He made it holy, separate. He sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So even back there in Genesis 2, it's associated with rest. Sabbath, the seventh day, rest. God rested. The Hebrew word for rest is shavat, S-H-A-V-A-T. Now that is kind of like the Sabbath, which is Shabbat, S-H-A-B-B-A-T. So in place of the double B, you put a V in there, and you've got rest. You can kind of see a connection. I don't know if there is one or not, but I saw it. Now, God rested on the seventh day. Now, I don't believe that God rested in a literal sense, because I don't believe God got tired. I've been tired. You go out here and put in some hard labor, you work, and you'll become weak, and you'll become drained of your energy. You'll become exhausted after you exert yourself physically. And you need rest. But all God did for 6 days was talk. And God said. Now when God spoke, all of these things came into being. From nothing. He didn't make them out of something else. He spoke them into existence. And when God spoke, all these things came into being from nothing. He spoke them into existence. And God said, let there be. And there was. He spoke, and it was so. So after 6 days of God creating, he ceased. He stopped. Why did he stop? Because there was nothing else left to create. He finished it. Everything that he wanted was there. There was nothing else to make. Everything was finished. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything was perfect. Now, for 6 days, going back to those creation days, God had ended each day with a statement. It says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. And the third day. And the fourth day. All the way through all 6 days. Now, I find this quite interesting. He did not say that about the seventh day. He did not say in the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Kind of leaves you with the impression that that seventh day never ended. God had worked for 6 days. He finished his work. Everything was completed and perfected. He's got man created now. He saw his work was finished. He rested. That was it. No morning and evening for the seventh day. I believe that God intended that from now on, since everything had been created and was perfect, that from now on, the eternal enjoyment of God's accomplishments, sit back and enjoy what God has created. World without end. Everything is perfect and complete. Now we just enjoy what God has created. So, all of God's creative abilities, those 6 days, they seem to flow like a river into a sea. The never-ending day of eternal rest. His last creative act was not the making of man from the dust of the earth, but the creation of a period of rest for mankind that he called the Sabbath. And that's the way it was. Then we turn a page and come to Genesis chapter 3. And there we find that humanity fell into sin. Man's relationship with God was drastically changed. And as a result, a curse came. God said to the serpent in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Then he turned to Eve, and he said to the woman in verse 16, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Then he said to Adam in verse 17, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground." Remember that death came, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. "Thou shalt return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And then, instead of them entering into that eternal rest, that Sabbath that God had prepared for them, verse 23 says, "The Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he came." And folks, starting right there, all the rest of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, all the way to Revelation 22, 21, is devoted to showing us God's gracious promise and the way that he goes about to redeem humanity from his sin, and to restore him, as it were, back to his Edenic state, like he was. God wants us eventually to become like Adam was in the Garden of Eden after God created him. Amen. That's his goal, that's his aim, that's his desire, that's why Jesus came, that he might restore mankind. Now, when we get over to Revelation, we find that God has gone what we would call full circle, because he brings the human race back to that eternal rest and fellowship that mankind was created to enjoy in the first place. Now, the Sabbath is not mentioned, and it played no prominent part in the world for the next 2,500 years. 25 long centuries went by without the Sabbath being mentioned. Mankind got so bad, God had to send a flood to destroy them. But he spared Noah and his wife and his family. start it over again. But then one day, God took Abraham, and he made of Abraham a great nation, and he called it Israel. They were God's chosen people. They were a people, they became a great nation down in the land of Egypt. And then God raised up Moses, who went down and delivered his people out of Egyptian bondage. And God called that deliverance redemption. He brought them back into the land that he promised to give to Abraham as an everlasting possession. They stayed in it for a long time. They had 70-year captivity to Babylon. Then they returned, and then later on, Titus came in 70 A.D. and destroyed the city and drove out all of the Jews. And from 70 A.D. until 1948, they were scattered throughout the world, a people without a nation. And then they came back, and they're there now. Very precarious position they're in. But when God brought them out of Egypt, when they were redeemed, you've got to look at this as when they were redeemed, God gave them the Sabbath. First time it had been mentioned, 2,500 years. But he gave them the Sabbath. Why? So that they might rest in fellowship with him. That was just one day out of seven. But it was to be a state not only of ceasing to labor, but a state of peace and freedom from war with their enemies. Again, I want to point out to you that this Sabbath was linked to redemption. They were redeemed from Egypt. Deuteronomy 5:15 says to the Jews, Moses speaking, he says, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." And he put it in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Now at the same time that he gave them the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, he also gave Moses a pattern for a tabernacle. Now, what was the tabernacle to be? A church? No. It was to be a place where God would dwell in the midst of his people. And he did. Clothed in the glory, he filled the tabernacle. And he dwelt on the mercy seat between the cherubim. His presence was manifested outside by the cloud that followed them by the day and the pillar of fire by night that gave light to their camp. God was with his people. And they were to dwell in the land that God had given them. And on the Sabbath day they were to imitate God when he rested and ceased from his creating. Now, on that weekly Sabbath day, the Israelites would enter into an Eden-like existence because the rules were very strict as to what they could and could not do on that hallowed, sacred day. They were to experience life on this seventh day by enjoying both the Creator and His creation. God told Moses in Exodus 33, verse 14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Rest is associated with the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. "I will give thee rest." And Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." It was made for man, a day of rest. Now, there's an old ancient Jewish idea that says the Sabbath and eternity are one. Think about that. And they cite a writing from the Apocrypha which says the seventh day is the sign of the resurrection and the world to come. The Sabbath is a sign of the resurrection and of the world to come. I'm inclined to believe that too. The Jews still observe the Sabbath day, which is Saturday. And that's the day that they worship the Lord. We have some Protestants that are called Seventh-day Adventists. They do the same thing. And there's even a group called a Seventh-day Baptist who meet on the seventh day. I don't know their doctrine. I'm not familiar with it. And I really couldn't tell you why they meet on the seventh day. But I'm pretty sure that the meaning of the Sabbath is lost to them. But that's the day that the Jews still worship the Lord. We've got 1.4 billion Muslims. Pardon me. And they follow Mohammed's Islamic teaching from the Quran, and they observe Friday as their day that they've set aside to worship. And the bulk of Christianity celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, like today. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the Sabbath as being a gift from God. A gift from God. The Sabbath day. He declared himself to be Lord of the Sabbath, Mark 2:28. "The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And he pointed to himself as the means by which we can experience that sabbatical rest. When he said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Rest associated with the Sabbath. Now, the latter part of Hebrews chapter 3 talks about those Israelites who died in the wilderness, of whom God said that they should not enter into his rest because of unbelief. You see, God brought them, he redeemed them from Egypt, and he brought them into the land. And when they got into the land, you read again God's instructions and his laws, and you'll find out that when they got into that land that God was going to give them for an everlasting inheritance, they were to live there as though it were the Sabbath. Every day was to be like the Sabbath. They were to worship God. They were to depend upon him. He was going to feed them and supply their needs and everything like that. But unbelief kept them from enjoying that land that God gave them as a gift. In Hebrews chapter 4, it speaks of a rest that is yet future. It's not here yet. And he said it in verse 8. Says, for if Jesus, and that he's talking about Joshua there, if Joshua had given them rest in the promised land, Moses died, Joshua led them across the Jordan, they went in and subdued the land. If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Think about it. It isn't here yet, but it's coming. There is coming a day of rest for God's people.
Amen.
For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief will keep you from enjoying the rest that God has for us. Now, let me show you this rest that God has for his people and their return to Eden, so to speak. And this is from Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Listen at this. John, the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos, he said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Then he says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life. Now, where was the tree of life? It was in the Garden of Eden. Go back all the way to Genesis, and you'll find the tree of life in the second chapter. And here it is, Revelation 22. On either side of the river there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. By the way, Adam and Eve were put out of the garden so that they could not have access to that tree of life. They couldn't get to it. God wouldn't let them. But now then, we're going back to Eden, and we're going to have access to it. Bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So following the creation that God made, when it was finished and completed and perfected, God created the Sabbath day. Now then, we have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And Jesus came to give us rest. But there's an eternal Sabbath waiting for those who are redeemed. God sent his only begotten Son into this world, who went to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood, that you and I might be redeemed, that we might be cleansed from sin and enter into God's eternal Sabbath that he's got prepared for us. Adam lost out, but through Christ we're restored. What a day that will be when our Savior we shall see.